two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the sky so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Well, not only does Ton have to put up with me on Saturday mornings for the Greenhouse Show, but he also has to put up with me when I find some fun plant in the nursery, sending him pictures on Saturday afternoon and going, well, what about this one? And that's what happened last week after the show. I went into my local nursery and I found this beautiful little plant, and they had a bunch of them, Ton, the wintergreen. And I sent you a picture saying, hey, does this really grow here? I've never seen this beautiful little plant before.
Yeah, and there's a reason why you never really saw it, because wintergreen is a ground cover that is super beautiful, but it can struggle here. It's related to rhododendrons and azaleas, and we don't see those around hardly at all. And because it's in the same family, it really likes that acidic soil. And because we don't have it, especially if you have a clay alkaline soil, it would really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to talk about, not only the wintergreen, because it is a medicinal, which we don't really try to get into too much, but it has been used by Native Americans and pioneers for its aspirin-like qualities and just
really?
A flavoring. Yes.
The leaf, so, the berry?
The leaf. And if you have wintergreen tea, a lot of times the natural ones are made from the leaves of the plant.
Okay, so this is beautiful. I mean, the leaves are kind of a shiny green color. And so does it say, is it an evergreen ground cover?
It is.
If you grow
it's
it?
Evergreen. And it's mint. So if you live in places like Wisconsin or Michigan or Maine, New England, those areas that have more cold climate similar to ours but more acidic soil, those are the places that it would really thrive. So here, if you were to grow it, you know, say you were to go out and dig a hole a foot deep and fill it with water. If that water drained off in a half hour, you may be able to get away with it. But what you would have to do is in your planting area, mix in lots of organic matter. So you'd want to go get some soil pep or other, I'm not endorsing soil pep over others, but a good compost, Nutrimulch would be fine. You know, there's lots of them out there. Mix that into your soil. And then you would plant it. And then every spring, you'd want to put a layer of finely ground compost in and around and work it toward into the soil, even the soil surface, to keep that organic matter high. And so if you had a shaded area with well-drained soil and high organic matter, then it might take.
Okay, so now I'm going to take this challenge, of course, you know that, because I did buy the plant. So shaded. So how much shade are we talking?
North or east side of your home.
Okay.
Or a building.
Okay. Okay. And the other thing that is really beautiful about this plant are the berries, which is what the other part that did get my attention. Because Caitlin and I are going to be doing some succulents Christmas trees, and I thought those berries would be perfect, right? And there are a plethora of berries on this little plant that I bought.
Yes. And so are you wanting to know if they'll last or?
I just really want this to be successful in my yard, you know, and they had a ton at this nursery that I was at. And they told me, you know, these are perennials, but I need to make sure that my soil's good.
Yes, you do. And so this is one of those situations, again, where Larry used to talk about east and west of I-15.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those plants for east of I-15 and maybe even the bench areas or
okay,
if you're on a sandbar.
For me, then.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're in Sandy or East Layton, Clearfield, and have those sandbar areas up in North Ogden, those would be the areas with lots of organic matter that the plant would thrive.
Okay, well, I'm excited to hear that because I was worried that maybe I just couldn't grow this plant.
Yeah, there's a gentleman, and I haven't been there for years and years, that in North Ogden that lived in kind of a sandy soil area against the mountain. And he had been taking his oak leaf litter and other leaves and mixing them into his soil. And he had the most gorgeous rhododendron and azalea garden. He was growing them in partial shade. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a unique thing for Utah. And hardly anybody knew that they were there. And it's one of those situations that if you have the right conditions, it would grow. But if you live, you know, out in Eagle Mountain and you're already struggling with marginal soil, I absolutely would not do it.
All right. Well, that is good to know. And if you would like to find out more about this beautiful plant, you can see it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, again, called the Wintergreen. And then the official name, what is the official name on that?
Or the Gaultheria.
Okay, it's beautiful. We'll stick with Wintergreen. It's a little bit
yes.
easier to pronounce. All right, and thank you for listening to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Let's take our next question from a listener. This person says they moved here from Virginia. There are many things different, of course, about gardening here. And they have a question as to why so many trees have the leaves dying on the tree instead of changing colors or dropping in the fall.
This is the second year in a row that we have had frost or cold that was cold enough to freeze the leaves. And so the process of the leaves changing color and then dropping from the tree is a physiological process to where the tree actually has to form what's called an abscission layer. And it's an ordered process that if we get a really hard frost in, the leaves freeze and that process halts. And so those mm-hmm. leaves will eventually fall off. But because the tree actually forms what's called that abscission layer, they froze and that abscission layer will not form. And so the leaves will be stuck to the tree oftentimes until spring before they finally just start to fall off.
All right. Because they are concerned because in Virginia, this would likely mean that they didn't get enough water and they could die in the winter. So they were wondering what they should do.
Yes. And so if you see a tree that dies in the middle of the summer and the leaves just turn brown, it's somewhat similar. The tree will be fine, but because the tree didn't form that abscission layer, it was just more that we had a freak hard frost that was should have been about a month later, and so it halted that process.
All right. Next person wants to know, Ton, do most perennial flowers need to be cut down before winter?
They need to be cut down after they turn yellow and brown. So you want to allow the plant to draw the nutrients and things in the stems and leaves down into the roots. And after they're brown and yellow, you cut them back.
All right.
So I wanted to bring sure. up really quick. We had mm-hmm. a caller that was calling about her lilac getting buried and broken up by snow.
Yes.
So my suggestion would be is if it's a newer shrub and it's already broken to the ground anyway, maybe dig it up and move it and to a new home. And they could maybe plant a butterfly bush you can get dwarf butterfly bush that will get that same height, and they will bloom most of the summer, kind of like the replete blooming lilacs. But the butterfly bush, you cut them down in the spring to about 6 inches off the ground. Mm-hmm. And so if those branches break, who cares? Because you actually just almost treat it like a perennial and just whack it, and then it regenerates from new growth.
That's a great idea. Plant something that's actually going to do much better there, that you don't have to worry about so much.
Yeah, and so the butterfly bush would get the same height. It would have a similar looking flower. It's a different looking bush, but it would give them an option to have a bush there that if that you want the branches gone.
All right. More of your calls and questions coming up. We need to take a break. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Ton taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Our next caller is Jim in Sandy. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
What is your question?
I've got a piece, Lily, that's important. It was related to a family member funeral some years ago, and it did great, and we repotted it. One time, just moved it from a smaller pot to a bigger pot. It did great for quite a few years. We decided it was getting so big that it needed to be divided, and we got what we thought was quality potting soil, a good brand, and we split it up, and one of them didn't do. In fact, we lost one repotting, and the other one, the leaves are not flattening out, and we're not getting a lot of extra or any additional leaves. Doesn't seem like we should. The leaves that are there are just curled. They never fully open, I guess. And then I've added some fertilizer to it, and that didn't help. What are we doing? And can you speak to, do plants really know when they're in a pot that's too big? Thank you.
No, they don't. And are you still on the line?
Yes.
Okay. Did you say what kind of plant it is?
It's a peace lily.
Peace lily. Okay. So how much irrigation is it getting as far as water?
Once a week, we put about at least 2 quarts of water on it. If not, and sometimes depending on whether the heater's running or not, gets 4 quarts of water.
Okay, and then what kind of potting soil did you use? Was it from a bag, or did you get stuff from your garden? Or
no, it was a bag. I don't remember for sure what the brand was, but okay. It was a known brand.
But it was a commercial potting soil. I'm just going through my list of things to knock out to try to hone down a little bit on what could be going on. When you transplanted it, did it have a good amount of roots that you moved to the new pot?
Yes.
Okay. And so after you transplanted it, the leaves is kind of curled up. They're still green, but they're just not unfurling.
Right. And it's only added one leaf, and that's been several months ago that we repotted it.
Okay. And does it have drainage holes at the bottom of the pot?
No, we're talking about a pot that's probably at least 2 feet tall, but it does have. We did put some crumpled up aluminum cans in there, and then a little bit of weed blocker in the bottom, so that there would be drainage space for it. I can't believe we're overwatering it because it's done so well, doing just exactly what we're still doing.
Well, what you need to do is check and see if it's underwatered or overwatered, because there's obviously a problem. And so what you would need to do is, you know, it's probably not rooted out to the side. And I would just get a narrow gardening trowel and go down the side and just check the soil out. You know, do it a few days after you've watered so that you don't get a false reading. But that has to be checked. And then how often is it being fertilized?
Well, since we repotted it, I've only refertilized it one time. Now, I'm wondering about vitamin B. Is it vitamin B that you add to plants to encourage root growth?
I mean, I'm not being mean, but I'd rather see you go to Wendover and put $5 in a slot machine than use that stuff.
Okay.
So it's just not going to help you. It's one of those myth-buster things. Vitamin B in potting, in like plant fertilizers and stuff, does absolutely nothing. So I know, okay, I'm going to get a lot of people mad at me for saying that, but just good care. And it's actually the nitrogen and other nutrients in the fertilizer that's helping, and not the kind of hocus pocus stuff. So I just offended all the witches too, and it's Halloween. So I'm not doing well. So
you're
anyway,
not doing well. What's
I'm
going on
not.
With you?
So what I'll have you do is, if it's dry, you know, check your irrigation. And I'm hoping that for some reason there isn't a root disease or something, but those peace lilies can tolerate a fairly humid environment. And what you might do is, if you can find a plastic sack that's clear, that's big enough to cover the pot, and you're going to have to put some stakes in there to support it. And you're going to put some holes, you know, maybe an inch across here and there in that sack for air circulation, but increase the humidity around that peace lily for a while. Now, being winter and lower light levels, it may not do much, but see if you can increase the humidity around it. And on that drainage, you know, honestly, the weed barrier and soda cans aren't going to really create drainage. It seems like it would, but it doesn't. And so there's nothing like having drainage holes in the pot with something underneath, so you've elevated the pot so that the water can drain out. And so those need to be checked. I'm not questioning your talents as a gardener or anything, but in the list of things that can go wrong, irrigation has to be checked. So otherwise, I'd increase the humidity around it and see if that helps until it gets reestablished.
Okay, now, we've got it in front of a big picture window that we halfway open the blinds on, but we were wondering if it's getting too much light because the tips of the leaves turn brown.
Well, is it near
when
a heat?
It's doing well.
Is it near a heat register?
Yes.
It could be the heater doing that and not the sun. Generally, okay, during this time of year, west and south sun isn't harmful to plants like it could be in the middle of the summer.
Okay. Hey, we appreciate you a lot.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your call this morning.
That little cloche that you're putting over there, if you can find a plastic bag big enough with some holes in it, you don't want to heat it up too much in there, but it would also maybe help protect it from that heat register temporarily until it gets more of its roots established.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back following the news.
You trust KSL for news and information in your car. Now trust us at home. KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.